Investigative Post has been reporting on a variety of problems within the Buffalo Police Department. Joining us today is Jim Heaney, the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Susan?
Very well, thank you. So why don't you tell us about Daniela Porat's reporting? What are some of the issues that she's been looking into?
Well, Daniela joined us in September and, has an interest in criminal justice. So I suggest that she start looking in the Buffalo Police Department. It's largest department upstate New York. It's probably the single largest expense for Buffalo in terms of its budget. And I know from some of my previous reporting that they don't have a very good track record solving crime. And as a matter of fact, Steve Brown and I, Steve WGRZ and I, did a piece last night that showed that Buffalo continues to clear only about a quarter, somewhere depending on the year, between a quarter and a third of murders committed in that given year.
And you were actually able to compare that number to like 3 years ago?
Yeah, well, what we've done is we've been tracking it over the last 10 years, and there's been kind of a steady decline in the city's ability to solve these homicides. A lot of it's rooted in the fact that about half the murders here are believed to be gang-on-gang, and they're solving almost none of them. I think 10% of the gang-related murders in the last 3 years have been cleared by police. They do a reasonably good job with other type murders, but when gang murders account for a little bit more than half of what you're doing and you're simply not solving them, that's a problem.
How does that clearance rate compare to the national average, do you know?
Nationally, it's about 60. I mean, that's every department from Mayberry, RFD, up to New York City and Chicago. I looked at comparables, municipalities between 200,000 and 500,000. And Buffalo's rate, I did this like a year ago. Buffalo's clearance rate was second worst in the country. Only New Orleans was worse. I think we were tied with maybe Newark. So we're not exactly keeping great company.
No. Now, I know that there was a specific incident with a young African-American man by the name of Wardell Davis. And I want to get to him in a minute, Jim. But first, how would you characterize, you've lived in Buffalo all your life. What kind of relationship does the BPD have with communities of color?
According to communities of color, not very good. There was a survey done by the Partnership for Public Good, which is an activist organization in town, last year, in which about half the respondents, and these are inner city residents, about half the respondents said in an emergency they would not feel comfortable calling the police. Steve Brown, in our piece last night, interviewed some young African-American professionals who said that there is just a great level of distrust between large segments of the African-American community in the police department. So, kind of good policing is predicated on, among other things, having good relationships with the community, and that just doesn't happen here. And Daniela's story a couple weeks ago kind of helped explain why. She looked at the question of police accountability, and she found out that there was a lack of police accountability. It was a pretty important story. A number of communities are starting to go toward independent oversight of the...
Like Citizens Review Board type thing. We have one of those in Albany, and I believe that New York City has something similar.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that in Buffalo. We've got a Human Rights Commission, which has some authority to review the work of the Buffalo Police Internal Affairs Department to determine whether or not their work is being handled on the up and up. What you found was that commission, a third of the seats, which the mayor appoints, a third of the seats are empty. Commission has not issued a report in 7 years.
Why hasn't the mayor appointed people to the board?
The mayor simply is refusing to answer questions on this subject, like he does many hot and button topics. If there's a tough question to be answered, he finds a way to avoid taking the question.
So happened to Wardell Davis?
Let me let me back you up for a minute.
Sure.
I do want to touch on the rest of her findings.
Please.
So we've got this commission which isn't doing its job. We've got the Common Council has established a police oversight committee a couple of years back. They meet a couple of times a year, and they really don't tackle any tough questions. For example, 2 years ago when Steve Brown and I originally reported on the homicide, the poor homicide clearance rate, the commission or the council's oversight committee met a month or two later, and they didn't even have that issue on the agenda to discuss. And it was kind of discussed in passing. Now, the biggest concern is so you've got the commission not doing its job. You've got the council not doing its job. It's left to Internal Affairs Department, the police investigating the police. And what Daniela found over a two-and-a-half-year period, she looked at all the complaints involving excessive use of force against officers. In other words, police brutality. Internal Affairs cleared their officers of wrongdoing 94% of the time. So there is no really effective means of monitoring police conduct in Buffalo. And then when you talk to people in the streets, and you know they're not liking the way police are handling a lot of people, and so you've got a situation where people don't want to deal with the cops, and it's making it hard to solve crime.
So nobody, I mean, trust is a big issue, I would think.
Yeah,
and it helps solve crime when there is trust, but because there isn't, there are people who aren't going to report crime to the police.
Or more importantly, just aren't going to cooperate when the police come knocking. What did you see? Somebody got gunned down in front of your house last night. What did you see?
Right.
You know, a lot of times they didn't see nothing.
All right, so we're coming from a context where the relationship between the community and the police isn't great. And then something happens to a young man by the name of Wardell Davis. What happened and when?
About 3 weeks ago. He was leaving a house. A couple of police officers stopped him. Some sort of struggle ensued. The young man wound up dead on the scene. And the police are characterizing it as soon as we realized he was in distress, we uncuffed him, did everything we could do to save him. The attorney, we interviewed the attorney who's representing the family of the deceased.
Steve Cohen is representing
Steve
the
Cohen,
Davis family.
Yeah. And Steve tells us that there are aspects of the police story which aren't holding up under the questioning he's asking of people. So it's very unclear what exactly happened.
What are the inconsistencies that Cohen uncovered? What is he saying? Do you know?
Well, among other things, Davis was leaving according to police, a known drug house, or according to Steve Cohen, Davis was dropping off groceries for a disabled woman at the house who he regularly takes groceries to. Davis's girlfriend, fiance, actually. Was picked up by police a day or two after the incident and aggressively interrogated for 3 hours by police without presence of an attorney. They seized several cell phones, including hers and Davis's. Downloaded data from it. According to Cohen, rather heavy-handed tactics, and it just raises questions. It's not to say that there is necessarily police misconduct involved in this, but against this backdrop where there is very little accountability of the actions of police, and given the whole environment, Ferguson, post-Ferguson America, and there are people in the community who have taken to the streets over this, who are upset about his death, who are upset about the lack of police accountability. They actually disrupted briefly the mayor's state of the state address.
How did the mayor respond to that?
Pretty much ignore it as best he could. I'm sure he wasn't happy with the fact that the press coverage that day and the next day in the paper had more to do with the demonstrations. I mean, people blocked traffic in front of the convention center where the address was held, and there were arrests made, and you know, they're starting, you know, there's the seeds of a protest movement here over the way police treat people of color.
So what's your next avenue of investigation? What are you guys looking at now?
Well, the mayor says there is no stop and frisk policy. We are looking into police practices to determine whether or not there is stop and frisk in the Buffalo. There's been some coverage in the alternative press in the past that suggests that there is stop and frisk, but you know, Daniela just got a stack of, oh, I don't know, probably 1,000, 1,500 pages of documents that she's going through, and you know, we also want to look at, you know, the police department's inability to solve murders isn't the only area where they appear to have difficulty solving crime.
So this is something that you guys are going to continue looking at.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's what we do. We take a topic and we, like a junkyard dog, we sink our teeth in and we don't let go.
Somehow that's so appropriate for you. Jim Heaney is the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. You can read all of these stories at investigativepost.org. Jim, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room with Susan Arbetter comes from the Sheraton Syracuse University Hotel and Conference Center, one of 385 venues worldwide certified by the International Association of Conference Centers. Members of IAC are held to rigorous standards in meeting rooms, catering, and service. Learn why businesses choose the Sheraton Syracuse at SheratonSyracuse.com.